There are certain milestones that carry symbolic weight, and 60 is right up there. There is no way around it. When you're 21, 60 means old. For long-distance swimmer Diana Nyad, 60 means it's time to finish something she started more than three decades ago, the 103-mile swim from Cuba to Florida. Nyad, of course, broke several long-distance swimming records back in the 1970s, but in 1978 abandoned an attempt to cross the Strait of Florida after more than 40 hours in the water. Now she wants to give that swim another go. So what is your unfinished challenge? What life goal do you want to revisit? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Diana Nyad, champion long-distance swimmer and longtime sports journalist, who joins us now from member station KCRW in Santa Monica. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Neil, it's my pleasure. Love the show. Love you.
Oh, well, thanks very much, Diana. And take us back to that first attempt to swim from Havana to Florida. What went wrong? Why did you have to stop?
Oh, my gosh. You know, the odd thing about it, Neil, is that just as a quick perspective, honestly, over these 31 years since that was 1978, so I guess we're talking 32 years now, mm-hmm. I really haven't given it much thought. It's not like, you know, it's been this burning hole in the resume that I just couldn't live without. I couldn't go to my grave without swimming from Cuba to Florida. All of us who made that 41-hour, 49-minute attempt, and you ask what went wrong, weather. We have much better predictions of weather these days. It looked good the day we left. Very, very shortly thereafter, we were in an 8-foot sea. Just picture 8-foot waves. I mean, you are no longer gliding along the surface. You're diving and bouncing and grappling with an enormous force of water. And unfortunately, that wind was coming powerfully out of the east. The swim, if you look at the map, Havana, Key West, it's basically north. It's a couple of degrees north-northeast, but it's basically north. The Gulf Stream is tugging you to the east, so you've got to be a pretty powerful, fast swimmer to get across the wide band of the Gulf Stream. Now, this wind came out of the east and was, even though I was making northerly progress, I was getting shoved and dragged into the Gulf of Mexico. And we wound up going 79 miles, which was respectable for the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wound up in the center of the Gulf of Mexico. And I remember when my trainer stopped me, she said, it's over. We can't make land. We not only can't make Florida, we can't make the Dry Tortugas, the Mercator Islands. The only land we're heading for is Brownsville, Texas, and we're still about 1,000 miles away, so let's give it up. So I gave it up, and I never had any shame about it. We all did our very best that
sure.
day. But now, as you said, I've reached that daunting age of 60, and I wasn't happy about it, frankly. And I thought, you know, I'm going to reach down. I'm going to find my strength, find the vigor I've got in me, prove not only to myself, but to those millions of baby boomers. We were the Vietnam protesters. You know, we don't feel young. I'm going to go out and do something that even myself, or probably no one else on the planet, could do, even at the age of 29, and do it now.
And when you said all of us involved, not just you, the swimmer, there's a whole team involved.
There's a team. There are 30 people, you know, because it's an expedition. It's, you know, it's honestly quite like mountain climbing. You don't ever go to the top of Everest by yourself. And even not the Sherpas, you know, helping you carry oxygen, et cetera. You've got a huge team of, you know, communications people and people getting the Nepalese, you know, government licenses. And so here it's the same. We've been working on State Department licenses from Cuba and, you know, the Cuban visas on that end. We have shark experts, some of the most dangerous sharks in the world are swimming in the Florida Straits, the tigers, the lemons, the white tips, and it's taken a long time to put together what I think is a pretty good, if not fail-safe, you know, safety procedure for that, because I won't swim in a cage. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's being out in the open sea. I've got navigators, world-class navigators. I've got my own handlers. I've got nutrition experts, boat people. I mean, you know, it adds up, and there's an expedition, and they're all expert. They're all in there for the adventure, for making history, and for friendship. And we are a tight-knit group at this point.
You mentioned politics. As I understand it, the Cuban government would be a lot happier if you were swimming to Cuba than having the image, the symbolism of somebody swimming away from Cuba.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the symbolism that they don't like. You know, I've been to Cuba not only for that swim back in 78, but I've been there many times since, and quite good friends with the Cuban sports authorities and the athletes, the marvelous athletes that come out of that tiny, poor country. It's a wonder unto itself. But You know, they did say to me back in January, if you would just do the swim into Cuba, we will have a salsa party like you've never seen in your life before. And I said, trust me, I'd love to. I would love to land on the Cuban shores, but I don't even know if it's possible to go the way I'm going. But I know it's not possible to swim against the Gulf Stream, which does go east, but then it tugs to the north also. Michael Phelps might be able to make it, but I don't think I could. So, and you know what? Awfully nice to finish in my home country.
And I wonder, is the spill in the Gulf of Mexico, is that a factor at all?
Well, like the whole world, back in April and May and June, I was watching with horror. You know, you'd turn on those images every day and watch that unstoppable gushing. So, you know, it wasn't me and my little swim that was of concern. You know, we're looking at planet Earth, you know, going down the tubes, and very concerned for the folks of, you know, Louisiana, Alabama, northern Florida. But I have to say, selfishly, yes, I was watching and tracking very carefully. We have a person on our team, that group of 30 I was talking about before. There's a woman, and she's a character. Neil, if you ever have a chance to interview her, you've got to call her. She's called the Queen of the Gulf Stream. She is a Gulf Stream analyst, and for the last 35 years, she lives in Maryland, but she analyzes even to the tiny little eddies and currents within the Gulf Stream from the Yucatan Peninsula all the way up the eastern seaboard to the main coast. And at any day, if you want to go out fishing or if you're in a sailboat race, she will tell you, you know, exactly how the current is behaving that day. And so I started talking to her. I brought her on the team, you know, right as the spill had happened. And daily she would give me a plotting course of where the Gulf Loop current comes up the Straits of the Yucatan, mm-hmm. the Gulf Stream current does. It loops up into the Gulf of Mexico and then swings back down and then starts flowing east between Cuba and Florida. And this year, very luckily, that loop current has not traveled very far north. So it never was in danger. Well, I shouldn't say it wasn't ever in danger, but it never did capture any of that massive amount of oil and start bringing it around, you know, which would have devastated the coral reefs and the entire eastern seaboard. That oil would have traveled all the way up to, you know, past the Carolinas and up to Maine, but it never did. And now, of course, that the capping is happening, everybody feels quite sure, and I am definitely sure that the oil spill is not going to affect this swim.
Ocean swimmer Diana Nyad wants to finish off what she started all those years ago, 32 years ago, the swim from Havana to Key West, 103 miles. We want to know what the unmet challenges are in your life. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. This email from Paul in Orange Park, Florida. I'm 60 and still want to climb Mount Whitney in California, which is the highest elevation in the lower 48 states, i.e. outside Alaska. I'll need some supplemental oxygen because I live at sea level, as well as a support group to take care of me after I summit and return to our base camp at 12,000 feet. But it looks like he's done some studying of this. Good luck, Diana. Paul Romberger in Orange Park, Florida. You've had to have gone back into training to get ready for this swim, of course.
Well, you know what, Neil? Yes, of course. You know, the training is rigorous. I know that there are many sports on this earth that take more talent than marathon swimming, but I defy you to find one that takes more will, that takes more willpower, and takes more rigorous physical training. Just the hours are long, tortuous, endless, and it takes everything in you. It takes you looking into that mirror and finding the soul you've got to do it. But you know, it's something I love both times you've introduced the conversation today, at the very beginning and just now. You've said something like, you know, reaching out to the people like Paul in his quest to climb Mount Whitney, and mm-hmm. I wish him luck. You know, what's your challenge in life? What goals do you want to revisit that maybe you didn't capture? And that's the whole raison d'etre here. Yes, on the one hand, there's a personal, athletic, you know, sort of egotistic victory. There is. I'd love to have my names in the record book, the only person ever to swim from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage. But it's bigger than that. The drive of it was turning 60. I didn't like it. First age, I didn't care about 55 and 59, and 60 just got an existential angst flowing in me, and I thought, I'm not irrelevant. I'm not past my prime. I'm feeling, you know, just brimming with everything that I've learned in life, and I've still got a good, strong body. But what I want to happen Neil, when I get to that shore, whether I walk up or crawl up, I want those millions of baby boomers my age to look at that. And it's not just physical pursuits. If they always had that novel in them, but they never got a chance to write it, and now they felt like, oh, shoot, I spent all my time raising my kids and, you know, pursuing my career, and it's too late. Well, it's not too late. 95 is old. 95 is old, and we allow ourselves at 95 to drift into the sunset and just rock on the front porch. 60's not old, and I'm here to prove it.
Diana Nyad will change her mind in 35 years. This email from Denise in Janesville, Wisconsin. At 51, I'm still nursing the novels, short stories, and poems I've been developing for years. New sense of urgency? You bet. Diana, you go, girl. I will watch and send good thoughts every single stroke. There's a reason you're on NPR today of all days, and I'm certainly not the only woman who needs your example today. Diana Nyad is our guest. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Zach. Zach with us on the line from Cincinnati.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, you know, a few years ago, a buddy of mine and I flew to Costa Rica, and after 2 days, we burned our plane tickets and decided to walk back, and it sort of morphed into a commitment to hitchhike the entire distance of Highway 1. We heard it was the longest unbroken stretch of road in the world, and we've, to this day, sadly only accomplished from Panama up to Chiapas in Mexico.
That's a pretty good hike.
It was a lot of fun. It took us about, I think we spent about 8.5, 9 months. And I'll tell you what,
wow.
It's the defining experience of my life. And I fell in love with the people of Central America. And it was fantastic all around.
You considering maybe revisiting the journey?
Absolutely. I am, however, newly married. So I hope my wife isn't listening to this. She's not quite the hitchhiker I am. It may take some time for her to grow into maybe following me on that particular trek.
All right, Zach, I'm sure you can talk her into it.
Thanks, and good luck, Diana. It's an incredible physical thing you're undertaking. I wish you luck.
Well, Zach, I thank you. And listen, I wanted to say something back to you. Not only what an experience, but the word you used is crucial. In the middle of your sentence of what you decided to do, you said, we decided to make the commitment. And honestly, what this swim has done for me, ever live life, taking everything for granted every day, but it's been a long time since I really committed myself to something like this last year, like you did, to hike. I mean, 8.5, 9 months, every day. I'm sure you had rain and blisters and, all kinds of challenges to go through and to stick with it like that. But, so that's what makes us high. That's what gives us a sense of purpose is commitment, whether you've decided I'm going to raise this child's going to come first, and I'm going to make this child a good citizen of the world. To me, that's the ultimate commitment. But you commit yourself, as the woman who called a minute ago said, to her writing, to her creative writing, and at age 51, she's still going strong. You want to go back and get on that Highway 1 and hike it again. Commitment is what makes us better people. It makes the world a better place, and it's just the ecstasy of life is commitment. So congratulations on that hike, and I'd love to know if you do it again.
Thank you, and I'll be watching for your attempt.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go next to this is Joe. Joe's with us from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, my unfinished business. Last August, I was planning on bicycling the entire West Coast from Canada to Mexico, and a week before my trip, I wound up getting diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. How's that going?
Fine. My treatments are done. I survived the chemo and all the stuff that comes along with that, and so now I'm in training. Now, hopefully, this next summer in 2011, I'll continue that trip and we'll finish up.
Congratulations on your determination and congratulations on your success with the treatment.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for that. Here's an email that we have from Larry in Wichita that says simply, you go, girl. What's the plans for the trip? Are you packed? Are you ready to go?
Me? I'm packed, yeah. I'm in that unnerving situation. I don't know. If you follow tennis, for instance, the men especially who play, 3 out of 5 sets in the big majors. Okay, you're at Wimbledon. Your match is scheduled for 2 p.m. this day. So you've eaten, you've stretched, you've peaked. You've got the mental vision of what you need to do and go out there. And then 2 o'clock comes and goes because the match in front of you is turning into an epic. And it's going, 2 hours and 3 hours and 4 hours and 5 hours. And now some rain comes. And now darkness comes. And you don't play your match at all that day. It goes to the next day. So the anticipation and the trying to peak at the right moment kills you. Well, you take that exponentially and multiply it to someone who wanted me to be in Cuba on July 23rd. So now it's August 12th. I'm 3 weeks beyond when I thought I was going to be there. How do I keep the physical peak? If I go out and swim 10 hours one day, and then they call me the next day and say, hey, the Cuban visas are done. The weather looks great. Let's go. I'm tired. I've got to rest from a 10-hour swim. But if I go out and do nothing, I'm going to lose this strength that I built up. So it's maddening to not know when you're going, when it's going to start. And I get a minimum of 50 calls a day from all the people involved in this and from press people. When do you think you'll be going over there? I've got to come up with a good answer. Like, it's mainly I don't know.
Well, good luck, and we'll be watching to see how you do.
Thanks, Neil. My pleasure. Thank you.
Diana Nyad.
Great to be with you.
Diana Nyad, longtime sports journalist and champion long-distance swimmer, planning on a swim from Cuba to Miami with us today from KCRW in Santa Monica. Today, we bid farewell to our summer intern, Jalynn Lasik. Jalynn came to us from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. She's represented Michigan, as well as her beloved Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. Well, we will miss her energy, her curiosity, and her Midwestern no-nonsense candor. We wish her the best for her senior year. She turned 21 yesterday. Oh, this is ridiculous to her. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.